nine, eight, seven, six, five, four, three, two, one. We have ignition. We have liftoff. Out and about is a go. All systems are nominal.
Hey, good afternoon, out and abouters. I hope you all are keeping cool, calm, and collected. And something else that starts with C. I am your host, Captain DJ Mave, and you are listening to KYRS Medical Lake Spokane on 88.1 and 92.3 FM. And welcome to Out and About. We are going to be doing, it seems like a lot of my shows have to do with artistic pursuits here in Spokane, and this is one of them. And I'm so happy to be surrounded by friends, countrymen, that I'm actually a part of this thing. So that is, I full disclosure, I'm a part of this. But you know, it's all non-profit-y stuff, and it's cool. So we're going to talk, and we're going to find out more about the show As You Like It, which will be next week. It starts actually this weekend, after this next weekend, and it is going to be at a Comstock Park in the beginning, and then we're going to move all Corbin Park. Thank you. Let me turn on your microphones because. I will do that. Yeah, I don't know why I keep thinking Comstock. Yes,
sure. Corbin. Yeah, so we're at Corbin Park starting July 18th.
July 18th. And we're going to get into the nitty gritty. We're going to keep telling everybody the dates and the times over and over and over again. So why don't we just go around and introduce ourselves and say how you are connected to this production of As You Like It.
Hi, I'm Abby Constable, and I will be playing the role of Rosalind.
I'm Abby Burlingame. Another Abby, and I am directing As You Like It.
And I'm Jeffrey Ridlington. I'm the artistic director for the Spokane Shakespeare Society, so I'm trying to make sure everybody is safe, comfortable, and happy, and all of you get to come see our shows.
All right. Very cool. So, Abby, how did you get involved directing? Was this your choice, or how did you get this play,
yeah,
or how did that work out?
Definitely. It was my choice of play, but also I chose it thinking about, you know, strategically what would be good for Spokane Shakespeare Society to do. So I really wanted us to do a comedy this year since we've done tragedies the last 2 years.
Yeah.
And so I started thinking about what would be a good play to do in a park. Shakespeare has several plays that are set in forests, so I leaned towards that direction already. And then I really wanted a play that could really take advantage of the fact that we're outside and that we're in a park.
Yeah.
And so As You Like It is a really good choice for that, because not only is it outside in a park, it also has a lot of elements of performance in it, people performing as other people, people in disguise. There's a very famous speech in it that you might know that starts, yeah, all the world's a stage. And so it seemed like a really good choice to start to play with those elements.
Yeah. And it lends itself well to Corbin. It's just such a beautiful, beautiful setting. So, and Abby, how did you, now you've been in so many things too. I've seen both of you guys in so many things. What attracted you to this role, Rosalind?
Well, I saw a production of As You Like It actually last year at the Royal Shakespeare Company, and Geraldine James was playing the role, and it was just the most phenomenal performance I'd ever seen. And I didn't really know the play very well before I saw it, and I fell in love with it instantly. And Rosalind is such a great character. Shakespeare has a lot of wonderful roles for women, but this is just one of the meatiest ones. This is the one that Rosalind just plays. She gets so much freedom in her role as pretending to be a boy, Ganymede, and she just gets to have so much more fun than I think a lot of characters like a Lady B or Cordelia. And it's just, it's fun, it's exciting, it's fast paced, and you know, who doesn't love a Shakespeare comedy?
Right. And you know, and I have to say, last night, you know, I felt like, oh, I'm kind of settled in this, and I'm, you know, I'm feeling pretty calm about it. So I just sort of sat and watched you guys when it wasn't my turn to come and play, and you were cracking me up.
you
have such a great sense of comic timing. And does that just come naturally to you, or is that something you've worked at, or?
I have worked a lot at it. I grew up with a lot of old school British comedies and Monty Python.
Yeah.
So you know,
how about Blackadder?
Oh, I love Black. That was the thing I watched when I was homesick in elementary school. I was like, I want to watch.
Okay, Red Dwarf.
Red Dwarf. Yep. Oh my gosh.
It's a grand slam.
These are all the hits.
It's a grand slam. But yeah, you were. I tell you, I was just found myself smiling and having such a good time. And that's what I think people should know. Come to see this; it's going to be a really good time. I mean, I think I've seen it probably six or seven times now in the last couple of weeks. But it is a good time.
It's so much fun.
Yeah. And anyway, so like you said, there's a lot of like, and you're very good also about becoming Ganymede, of stepping into that role and transforming yourself. Oh, Rebecca's here. Somebody want this is good radio, folks. you just never. It's like Prairie Home Companion. Oh, who's knocking at the door right now? Oh, it's Rebecca Craven coming in to. Oh, it's our Jaques. Hello, Jaques.
Hello, world.
Hello, welcome, welcome.
Hi,
yeah, you know, and I think it's funny because I'm looking at all of you and I think Jeffrey's the only one that I haven't talked to here in the studio before, you know, which is cool. You know, how are you liking it so far, Jeffrey?
I mean, it's great being in the studio. Yeah. I've been an actor with the company the last 3 years, so I'm in a different role now. And so all of the time that I actually get to spend with you all, I really treasure and miss having some of that. So it's cool to be here with these folks.
How is it going with your new role? Is it more than you thought? Is it kind of what you thought it would be?
It's kind of what I thought it would be. Yeah. This week's crazy because with the heat, we largely work outside. So the past couple of days, I've been scrambling to find some cooler spaces to keep everybody safe and comfortable. But yeah, I mean, largely, it was a lot at the front end while I was still at work teaching, and now that I'm in summer mode, this I can kind of devote plenty of time to making sure that details are taken care of. So it's a nice it's nice for me working with the summer company as a teacher. So
yeah. And you know, and I think with the heat and stuff, I think audiences should know if you're considering coming out that last year, and you know, last year's Hamlet, and I keep telling, it was one of the best Hamlets I've seen. I enjoyed it so much. And a lot of it, I mean, Jeffrey, everybody did a great job. But I think a big part of that was setting. And it was a really hot day that I went, but it was cool sitting on the grass. You know, it was very cool. And the setting of the clouds and the sky behind it, and just a gentle breeze blowing through it. It was beautiful.
Yeah, we've got most of our places now have good shady spots for the audience to sit. So I think hopefully it's comfortable for all the people coming to see.
And how much does something like this cost for people to come and see it?
It's really important to us that Shakespeare's available to everyone. So we just want you to come and see it. It does cost us money to run things. All of our artists are paid a small stipend. We wish we could pay them more. And there are lots of expenses that now that I'm on this end of it, you realize how much goes into it. So we gladly accept donations, but your presence is definitely enough. We want to be able to share this art with everyone in Spokane, and that's part of why we want to come to a park near you and have you come out and see it. But if you can afford to pitch into our tip basket, or this year we've got some merchandise that you can buy. And so, yeah, come see the show. If you can contribute to it, we greatly appreciate it. But if your contribution is your presence, we're so happy to have you.
That sounds good. And now, you know, we've been talking a lot about the show, and maybe people aren't even familiar with the story too much of As You Like It. Does somebody want to kind of, I think probably,
yeah, I can
you probably
that
are
on.
Pretty well acquainted with the story
yeah.
by now.
So As You Like It is a comedy, so we know that it's probably going to end fairly happily. But the setup is that we have a Duke who has usurped. It's a her brother in this situation. We've done some gender swapping. And the Duke's daughter, Celia, and the Duke's niece, Rosalind, are very good friends, and they're in the court. And Orlando meets Rosalind in the court. They instantly fall in love, but then the Duke banishes Rosalind to the forest. And Celia, being so devoted to her, decides to go with her. And so we have this movement from the court setting into a forest setting, again, into a beautiful Spokane park. And then in the forest, when they decide to run away to the forest, Rosalind decides to dress as a boy too. So they decide to go in disguise. Celia will stay as a woman, but in disguise, Rosalind will dress as a boy. They go into the forest, they meet a whole host of different characters in the forest. But kind of the main plot thread is that Rosalind, disguised as Ganymede, which is her boy persona, is going to teach Orlando, who has also been forced to flee into the forest, how to woo Rosalind by pretending to be Rosalind. And so we have Rosalind pretending to be Ganymede, pretending to be Rosalind, all while interacting with the man she loves, Orlando. So there's a lot of fun stuff around performance, around performing gender. And we were already talking about Abby's impeccable comedic timing and manliness, I suppose, while in disguise. So that definitely comes into play. But then all in all, we end up with four couples, which is a lot for Shakespeare.
Yes.
And everyone has a good time, and we end on a very happy high note.
Yeah. And the playing between you and Sydney and that is just so funny. I mean, last night was really cracking me up for some reason. So
they're funny. They're doing a good job.
Yeah. It was really nice. And Rebecca, let's talk a little bit about your character. We have Rebecca Craven.
I'm the non-funny part.
Yeah, you are. Well,
I'm a little funny, but I'm not fun.
Yeah, I think you are kind of a good, at least for some characters, to just sort of be exasperated with you. And
yes.
There's a funniness in that.
I am considered the melancholy soul of the whole forest,
yeah,
or court or anywhere else. I'm the one they always talk about being the sad one.
Yeah, Jacques. And it's spelled like Jacques. And it's just, and I think, wasn't that something Shakespeare, that early on, that was something funny that people would get the name wrong all the time? I think I read that someplace. That was like a joke, like it'd get mispronounced. And
yeah, I don't remember reading that, but I mean, Shakespeare loved setting things in far off lands that he'd never been to, and they're kind of not really set there. So this is an example. The Forest Arden is in theory in France, maybe, but Jacques is pronounced Jacques.
Yeah, and it's funny because second brother's first name is actually Jacques as well, which is just like,
yeah, just a really confusing.
Like, let's make it as screwed up.
Let's
as
have
possible.
A couple of
but
the same names.
Nobody refers to second brother as Jacques. So don't
I
be,
think at the very
so
beginning,
audience,
I
do
saw
not
it.
Do not fret. It will not be that confusing.
Yeah, we have ironed out some of Shakespeare's confusing things and then thrown in some of our own because that's how we roll.
Yeah, and that's the thing too, right? I mean, to edit things down, like last year's Hamlet, that was really superbly edited, I felt like. Was there much that you had to do to the script for As You Like It to bring it down to a more condensed version that people could put up with?
Yeah, it's pretty compact to start with, but I definitely took quite a bit out. I mean, to put it bluntly, Rosalind talks a lot. She has the most number of lines in a Shakespeare comedy of any woman. And I think the only one in the tragedies that's on par with her is Cleopatra. So she has a lot of lines. Like, wow. She's kind of like the female version of Macker's in terms of how much of the text she actually says. So a lot of it was saying, okay, Rosalind's going to talk a little bit less here.
Okay.
But not anything compared to cutting Hamlet down to the like 2.5 hours we had.
Yeah, that was pretty well done. So, you know, doing this in the park, you have, how many years now has Spokane Shakespeare Society been?
This is the fourth year.
Fourth year, yeah. Okay. And I'm trying to think of the shows. I think I've seen them all, but did it start out with Midsummer's Night's Dream?
Okay. Midsummer's was the first show.
And then we did Complete Works of Shakespeare Abridged.
Oh, yeah.
And that was our first season. And then the second season was Romeo and Juliet and Good Night, Desdemona.
Good Morning, Juliet.
Mm-hmm. And then last year was Hamlet in Rep with Rosencrantz and Guildenstern Are Dead. And this year, we're starting out with As You Like It, and then our season will complete with Mortal Terror coming up in September, end of August and September.
And auditions are coming soon.
Oh, yeah. So if you want to audition for that, and I suppose people, how do they get a hold? Well, let's just do the plug right now, you know, so we don't forget to do it. How do people find out more about where the show is going to be and when it's going to be and all that good stuff?
So all of that information is on SpokaneShakespeareSociety.org. So I'd recommend looking at it there. We're getting more active on our social medias as well. So we've got a lot going on Instagram and Facebook. So look for Spokane Shakespeare Society there, and you'll see lots of funny videos along with the relevant information of where we are. So, and we've been having a lot of fun with that this year.
Yeah. And you know, the venues, I really like these venues that are a little more pastoral, I guess you'd say. Mm. That I like when it was in the pavilion space, that was always kind of a cold space, it felt like to me.
Yeah. This year we opened in Corbin July 18th, and then the next weekend we moved to Manitou, which is also pastoral, and then we end in Riverfront the final week of July into the first weekend of August. And Riverfront, yeah, we're not in the pavilion space. We're in the Lilac Bowl, which is a little more pastoral.
And that'll be, so all those are pretty easy to follow or to find, I think, like the Corbin Park. That's on the east end of the park and kind of towards more of the north side of it, I believe. And then Manitou, if people go to Duncan Gardens, it's just really just next to Duncan Gardens in that spot where they've done like the art fair. And once they at least had a Renaissance fair there a long time ago. And you know, so it's just that area kind of over by the Duncan Gardens, and that's easy to find. And then the Lilac Bowl is where they usually have a stage set up there, it seems like, during Pride and things like that. Right, pretty close to the river on the north side of the river.
Just past the clock tower is a good landmark.
Yeah, the clock tower is a great landmark. So now, Rebecca, we're going to come back and we're going to do our 20-minute after the hour business. Mm-hmm. And then we're going to come back and you're going to treat us to a little bit of J'écris, I believe.
You never knew you knew who he was until you hear this monologue.
I know, right? That's true. That's true. You picked a great character, that's for sure. All right, everybody. Stay tuned. You are listening to Out and About on KYRS Medical Lake, Spokane, Washington.
Tune in Mondays at 4 p.m. for Solidarity Spokane, the Inland Northwest's local labor hour, hosted by Cat Sabotage, elevating the voices of everyday workers and worker organizations, fighting for your rights in the workplace and fostering community solidarity. Join us here to reclaim control over your own destiny by reclaiming the conditions and products of your labor. That's Mondays at 4 p.m. here on KYRS Thin Air Community Radio. An injury to one is an injury to all.
This is your KYRS live and local calendar for July 8th through the 11th. Monday, open mic with Drea the Great and Ben 10 at the Red Room, Imagine Jazz at the Bad Seed, and open mic at Live Entertainment. Monday and Tuesday, open jam at Jackson Street. Tuesday, Ron Green of the Osprey, Front Porch Rockers at the Rocket Market, and David Rosales and Jerry Lee Raines at Zola. Wednesday, Dan Conrad at Beck's Harvest House, Rock the Nest with Zonky Jazz Band, Jason Perry and Hannah Boundy at Kendall Yard's Night Market, Son of Brad at the Osprey, open mic with Derek Hart at the Checkerboard, and open jam at the Red Room. Thursday, the Hankers at Center Place at Mirabeau Point Park, Jason Garrett Evans at Arborcrest, Villa Blues and Jazz at Coeur d'Alene Park and Brown's Edition, Evan Denlinger at True Legends, Sidestep at Zola, and Sugar Bear, Evergreen Afro Dub Orchestra, and Live Luminosity at the Chameleon. For an entire hour of local musicians, tune into Sounds of Spokane. Check out Mark Ward live in the studio this Sunday night at 8 on KYRS.
Hi, this is Jeremy Whittington from Stage Left Theater. KYRS Thin Air Community Radio provides our region with information that might be omitted, overlooked, or even censored by mainstream media. Your radio station is powered by the communities they serve, and our radio programs are as rich and diverse as the Spokane community itself. Please make a pledge today by texting GIVE KYRS to 44321. Your support ensures that KYRS can continue to celebrate the rich diversity of our community.
The Music Maker Foundation seeks out the carriers of America's oldest roots music traditions to help them secure a wider audience and a more comfortable financial future. Their primary focus is on serving musicians age 55 and older, but they also work with some emerging musicians, often in collaboration with senior artists who want to carry their traditions forward. Learn more about the Maker Relief Fund at musicmaker.org. Hey, welcome back, everybody. And I am your host, Maeve, and we are talking to my friends from the Spokane Shakespeare Society, and we are putting on As You Like It. And so we've talked a little bit about the story, what the story is about, and we're going to keep telling you where you can go see this show. And it's going to be, you're going to have, I think, what is it? 12 opportunities or more than, 12 opportunities, 11. I think.
11.
Oh, that's right. We lost the 12. Ours goes to 11. What'd you do, Rex?
I don't know. I broke the headphones.
Oh, no. I've never seen that before. Wow. Oh, man.
It'll pop back in.
This is going to be... yes.
Now we share.
We had a headset fall apart here. It's pretty, you know...
I'm just talented.
It's little
like
things
that.
In life.
And we're never getting invited back.
Just, and it's just digging into Rebecca's chin. And really, it's going to motivate her for her Jacques monologue. So... Now, so why don't you guys listen to this and see if this sounds familiar to you? Okay, kick it.
All the world's a stage, and all the men and women merely players. They have their exits and their entrances, and one man in his time plays many parts, his acts being seven ages. At first, the infant, mewling and puking in the nurse's arms. Then the whiny schoolboy with satchel and shiny morning face, creeping like snail unwillingly to school. And then the lover, sighing like furnace with a woeful ballad made to his mistress eyebrow. Then the soldier, full of strange oaths and bearded like the bard, jealous and honor and sudden and quick in quarrel, seeking the bubble reputation even in the cannon's mouth. And then the justice, in fair round belly with good capon lined, with eyes severe and beard with formal cut, full of wise saws and modern instances, and so he plays his part. The sixth age shifts into the lean and slippered pantaloon, with spectacles on nose and pouch on side. His youthful hose well saved, a world too wide for his shrunk shank, and his big manly voice turning again towards childish treble, pipes and whistles in his sound. Last scene of all that ends this strange, eventful history is second childness and mere oblivion. Sun teeth, sun eyes, sun taste, sun everything.
Very nice. Thank you so much. Yeah, and so I think people are going to be kind of, you know, that kind of surprised me. I don't think I knew that was from As You Like It. And there it was. I watched the 1994 movie where they're in Japan. Have you seen that one?
Oh, the Kenneth Branagh, Branagh version. Yeah. that one's a wild ride.
it is. It's a little different. So how have you all kind of seen things sort of evolve as far as the productions in Spokane Shakespeare Society? What has there been sort of a trajectory? What have you learned? Where do you think it's going to go?
Well, Abby Constable and I have been in most of the productions. Actually, we've all been in a lot together, but I know actually last year, Abby Burlingame and I talked a lot about this idea of utilizing the environment. When we do Shakespeare outdoors, things happen that don't happen indoors. And if you're used to acting indoors, if you're used to indoor theater, it can be a little bit jarring. I think always there's people who are their first performance who are a little bit unsettled by just, oh, hey, there was some motorcycle sounds, or there was a siren, or the wind is blowing things over. And we've talked about embracing that and about saying, we're in a beautiful outdoor location. And rather than trying to bring the trappings of indoor theater out with us, how can we utilize the sun and the shade and the trees and the environment and really the fact that people might come in and wander through what we're doing and enjoy a bit of it and wander on. And I personally love it when people bring their dogs, because we always love to peek from backstage and see the cute dogs and the lovely picnics in the audience. So I feel like we've been increasingly embracing the fact that we're doing outdoor theater and how much fun and delightful that is. And I think Abby's concept is really drawn into that.
Yeah.
Yeah, definitely. I was going to say what you were saying, Maeve, about the, like, watching the sunset and the night change. And that's what I love about outdoor theater, is that spontaneity. Like, you can't get that in a classic building with four walls. And so I think trying to embrace, we don't have any walls, anything can happen. Yeah. Anyone can come in the production, and have that be built into the concept itself. That was my vision. I've been in several productions. I think also this year, it might look a little bit different in terms of where the cast is placed, what the backdrop is, at least with my production. So that's one way we've evolved. We've realized that everything that we set up, we've got to take down. And so one of my goals with this production was to get things a lot lighter for the cast so that they can, you know, go out there, do the show, and then go home and feel refreshed for the next day.
Well, I love it because it gets me outside when I normally wouldn't necessarily. I go, oh, it's hot, I don't want to deal with it. There's going to be bugs. There's going to be a bunch of people to deal with. But it gets me out there. And once I'm there, I love it and enjoy spending the evening with these great friends, just enjoying the park. I get to see the sunsets. I get to enjoy the weather, and the shade is beautiful. So there's no reason not to come see it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Spend some time out.
Yeah, we all love indoor theater, and we all love the cool, big, fancy sets, but what I love about Shakespeare Society, especially, and outdoor theater, is when you take that stuff away, you can really get to focus on the performances, and you really get to focus on the characters and feel a part of it. And I know with this production, for those that are comfortable, you know, we've got some opportunities for the audience to be a part of the world with us. Not so much an observer, but almost another character. We got lords and mm-hmm. messengers, and it's we're really working on bringing the audience into the space, into the show, into the characters, into the story, and it's just such a collaborative way to work, and it's such a unique experience for everybody.
Yeah, for me, I always think of when I go to these outdoor, especially last year when I saw it in Manitou, I thought of Station 11, the book.
Love Station 11.
And actually the TV series is really good too. But it's just like, in that mindset, and it's funny because Shakespeare has been done in every setting. And as I understand, during the Wild West, Shakespeare was really big. I mean, cowboys would quote Shakespeare, and they were, so you think about these traveling troops, which I always thought would be fun to be a part of, part of this troop, in the wagon rolling through town, or maybe a Mad Max version of it would be cool too. So that's what kind of I feel. I kind of am getting sick of post-apocalyptic science fiction. That's why I've always been more of a Star Trek fan than a Star Wars fan, I guess, because the order, things we've made things happen. But I sure do love that Station 11 and that. Mm-hmm. That's what I kind of feel like when you're sitting out there. The whole world could come to an end, mm-hmm. and we would still have Shakespeare people performing, because it's really, this sounds so corny, but it's really, I enjoy that you're giving something to people. Not to get too sentimental about it, but it's like, I like that part of it, and I think we kind of need that in these days, just a happy message and something that is time honored, right? So have you guys had anything kind of unusual happen in these outdoor settings? Anything crazy?
I mean, name it, it's probably happened.
Okay.
What are we?
In fact, they're somewhat part of our shows now. We are incorporating them, like the bike tours that go through playing music in the background.
Oh, yeah.
Now we get to include that in our show.
Right. Masterfully as well. Yes.
Yeah.
It's
an amazing character.
No spoilers, but Maeve may interrupt our performance on a bike.
Yes.
That may be her role.
And I might even fall down.
It's spontaneous.
I've brought a lot of fake blood. And So I would imagine too, like noise, right? I mean, jets pass over all the time. And do you hold for that, or you just plow right ahead?
We try. We try to put a pause in. I mean,
yeah.
With Shakespeare, you want to get through it and you kind of don't want pauses. And we're kind of getting just to the cusp of our rehearsal process here where, I'll start encouraging that even more to really be in the environment as much as possible.
Oh, good.
And
good.
To respond to those things as they happen, especially given the fact that we're acting for the most part like these Shakespeare characters have landed in a Spokane park.
Yeah.
And so I'm going to be like, Abby, Rosalind can totally shake her fist at the airplane. That's fine. That totally works with the show.
Yeah.
It's always fun when you can react to the environment and acknowledge mm-hmm. it, because we're all there and we're all seeing the kids skateboard through the middle of the scene. And sometimes you can't, because it would interrupt what we're doing. But mm-hmm. when we find those opportunities.
My favorite, I think, Oopsie, which wasn't actually... didn't have to do with being outdoors, but it was when Matthias in Good Night, Desdemona, Good Morning, Juliet. We didn't have a prop that we needed, and he just made up a rhyming couplet on stage to
off
cover
the
fact that he didn't have the prop. And like, we were both on stage listening, and I was like, wow, I've never really heard that line before. And then we came off stage, and Matthias was like,
same thing. We were like, is that's really good.
I've never really heard that moment. And then Matthias was like, I didn't have the prop, so I just made something up. And I was like, but it rhymed.
And it was so natural, we didn't even notice that the prop wasn't there. It was a prop that the rest of us used. We passed it around and had no idea it was gone.
Oh, that's... And the good thing is there's probably not going to be a lot of Shakespearean scholars out there that will shake their fist.
Yeah. You'd be surprised.
Oh, no. Don't say that.
Bring a script. Just follow along.
Well, what I think the first show I might have seen you all in, Midsummer's, the sound system wasn't that good. And now it is, you have really dialed it in. I've got big time hearing deficits. So I don't have the hearing aids and I don't hear anything. And so, but I heard all the dialogue really, really well. And tell us a little bit about that.
Well, I think we really have to give props to our tech guru, Alex Blackman, who is a student of mine, and we brought him in the second year. They were looking around for stage managers, and he was a student of mine at the time. And I said, well, do they need to be an adult? And Amanda said, they just need to be reliable and good. So, well, have I got a guy for you? And he's always looking at ways to adjust what we're doing, put equipment together, find the thing that's going to improve what we're doing. And he understands working on a budget. So it's like, where can we spend our money to get the most impact, or who can we borrow things from? And he's really becoming really a resource to other people trying to do this sort of things. I know with Saucy Jack last year, he helped with the setup of that was that Rebecca directed in an unconventional space. And so, yeah, Alex is developing his skills as a person who can set things up in odd spaces. And then, like all of us, trying to share what we've learned with other people in the community. I mean, you talked about bringing Shakespeare to people is a gift, but also I think bringing all of our theater knowledge around is a gift that we share in a greater community that we can be connected in.
Yeah. So I think people should know that it's really good now as far as being able to.
I was going to say, if you've only seen the first production, you haven't seen the growth that has come into Spokane Shakespeare Society, and it's really come a long way. Not that anything was wrong with what we did in the beginning, but it's just gotten better each time, and with every endeavor, we are putting out a bigger, better product. Yeah. So, come see us.
Yeah, and how do people find out more? How do people find out more about all the stuff we've been talking about coming in and seeing As You Like It? How does that even happen?
Definitely. So SpokaneShakespeareSociety.org is where we have our calendar up with all of our information on where our shows are. We open next Thursday, July 18th in Corbin Park. You can also check out our social media, Facebook, and Instagram as well. We have all of the details as well as some fun other goodies and behind the scenes from rehearsals and some a fun video series interview that's a bit of a parody that just dropped today.
I have not seen that. I'm looking forward to seeing that.
And I think that's one of my priorities. I know, like, sometimes, well, I talk with my parents and they come see the Shakespeare. They often say, Jeff, can you get us a copy of the script so we can read it beforehand so we know what's going on? Which is great. I think we endeavor to really make it clear what's happening. But if you feel like you want some background information, some of these funny videos are really set up to give you a taste of what's happening and some background on the characters in there. So if you feel like, well, but I don't really know what happens in this, one, come out anyway. I think the performers make it very clear. But if you want to feel a little bit more comfortable, check out some of our funny videos and they'll give you some great background information.
That's right. So if you have a date or something and then you wanted to, you know, seem erudite and that you've seen this many times before, just, you know, you can Wikipedia that stuff, right? I mean, and then you're the expert.
Yeah. Just watch Betwixt Two Trees on Facebook. Yes. And you'll have all the information you need.
That's it. All right. We're going to do our 20-minute to the hour business, and we're going to be back with more of As You Like It.
Come hang out Saturday nights right here on KYRS FM, Saturday nights 10 to midnight with me, Micah Thompson. It's The Witching Hour. We'll be spinning hot molten metal from Black Sabbath to Bolt Thrower and everything in between. Tune up your air guitar and make sure that amp goes to 11. It's gonna get loud.
K KYRS is grateful for the many listeners who have donated their vehicles to us. You can join them by donating your unwanted car, truck, minivan, motorcycle, and more. Vehicles are picked up free of charge, sold, and the proceeds help KYRS bring you the programs you know and love. It's easy to donate your vehicle, and it's tax deductible. Just call our toll-free line to arrange a free pickup. 855-KYRS-CAR. That's 855-597-7227. Thank you.
Out and About receives support from Boots Bakery and Lounge, specializing in vegan bistro fare and gluten-free baked goods. Located in the Saranac Commons, 19 West Main Street. Open 7 a.m. through 7 p.m. Monday through Saturday, 7 a.m. through 5 p.m. Sundays. Full menu and information available at bootsbakery.com. And we are back, and I'm talking to my friends from the Spokane Shakespeare Society, and we're talking As You Like It, the in the park, free in the park, free in the park.
I mean, we've got Corbin Park this weekend, then Manitou Park, then we've got Riverfront Park. So wherever you are in town, you can come see us.
Yeah, that's And does Spokane Parks help out with that at all, as far as?
Yeah, Spokane Parks has been a partner with us from the beginning, and we really couldn't do what we do without them. As I was talking about scrambling to find indoor spaces for us, space is hard to find and expensive, and Spokane Parks allows us to rehearse in the parks for being partners, which is really crucial to our existence. So they're great partners, and we love them, and we love working with the parks.
Yeah, the parks are Spokane's jewel. And we are the little jewel inside the jewel.
Exactly.
Now, I understand that we might be having some dialogue this time. Anybody want to set this up?
Yeah, definitely. Let's go ahead and let's do a scene between Jaques and Rosalind. So this is a interaction between our leading lady and then Jaques, who we've heard a little bit from. Jaques is kind of our melancholy, fool-like character. And so in this scene, you know, this is an example of some of just this play's full of banter. So this is just a little bit of banter between these two very interesting characters.
I prithee, pretty youth, let me be better acquainted with thee.
They say you are a melancholy fellow.
I am so. I do love it better than laughing.
Those that are in extremity of either are abominable fellows, and betray themselves to every modern censure worse than drunkards.
Why, 'tis good to be sad and say nothing.
Why, then, 'tis good to be a post.
I have neither the scholar's melancholy, which is emulation, nor the musician's, which is fantastical, nor the courtier's, which is proud, nor the soldier's, which is ambitious, nor the lawyer's, which is politic, nor the lady's, which is nice, nor the lover's, which is all these. But it is a melancholy of mine own, compounded of many simples, extracted from many objects, and indeed the sundry contemplation of my travels, in which my often rumination wraps me in the most humorous sadness.
A traveler. Oh, by my faith, you have great reason to be sad. I fear you have sold your own lands to see other men's. Then to have seen much and to have nothing is to have rich eyes and poor hands.
Yes, I have gained my experience.
And your experience makes you sad. I had rather have a fool to make me merry than experience to make me sad. And to travel for it, too.
Nathan, God be with you. And you talk in blank verse.
Farewell, Madam Traveler.
Yay! Very nice. Thanks, you guys. That was wonderful. Yeah, it's funny because every once in a while I will listen to a radio program of Shakespeare, you know, put on. And with the right sound effects and stuff, it's actually pretty compelling. Have you ever thought about doing that, you know, besides performing?
I just thought about it right now. I think that's
that's a really good idea. Maybe we've got a friend who's got a connection with the radio station.
I think we could do it.
Yeah. We want to expand what we do beyond the summer. And we've talked about doing some readings. And I think something like that could work really well.
Right.
With having a shorter rehearsal period. I think we should talk some more and see if we can hook something like that up.
I think totally it'd be a doable thing.
Yeah, and it's a good observation because, a lot of the times in Shakespeare's day, you didn't say you were going to see a play, you would say you were going to hear a play.
Yeah.
And so this language is really meant to be heard and listened, and that's probably why I love Shakespeare, is because it's an auditory experience that is even dissimilar to some modern theater. Like, you go and you got to click into the language. Once you do, we can have three trunks and actors in a park and create entire worlds with it. So.
Right. And it really takes, with so much emphasis on like fantasy stories and, so many fantasy television shows. And I think that people, this is almost like that in a way. I mean, you're kind of stepping back into this era of lords and all that. So I think people are probably going to be more receptive to it than ever. I hope.
Yeah.
It's a great one to bring everybody in.
Yeah. Yeah. Because this one's very followable and very, very, actually very funny too. Yeah. Very funny.
There's lots of fun, different characters. So if you're not particularly interested in one plot point, there's three other ones.
There are. There's a bunch going on all the time. Where do you, besides this great radio idea, where do you see things going like in the future as far as Spokane Shakespeare Society and this, summer productions?
Sure. Well, I mean, with summer, we're already thinking and talking about next year, and next year will be our fifth season. So we feel like that's kind of an achievement that mm-hmm. we're looking forward to celebrating and trying to have some big things. We've done a few things in conjunction with local schools. We've got a good relationship with the community school, and we've had members come out to.
Oh yeah, I did that last year. Well, that was not. Oh, never mind. I'm sorry.
Okay, no worries. Yeah, they just did at the beginning of or in the spring at the park. They put on a piece from Midsummer Night's Dream that Jeffrey St. George helped them with. And so I'd love for us to do more of that. And I think we're working on reaching out and building those relationships. And like I said, another thing we've talked about recently is maybe having some readings happening during the off season, seeing if we can get cast into different locations, doing readings of plays to help spread kind of familiarity. I think a lot of people feel like maybe they don't know Shakespeare beyond a few of the more famous pieces, which is great. But I think as we get to know more, we can enjoy more of it. So getting it out to people, giving you a chance to feel like, oh yeah, I know this one. I've heard this before, is something we're hoping to do.
That sounds like a lot of fun. I just think that'd be really cool to kind of juxtapose maybe some scenes and more modern. Maybe like two garbage men or something doing a scene. I don't know. I think there's just so many. That's the beauty of it, right? I mean, you can go so many different ways.
The parks are so flexible. Yeah. I mean, and Shakespeare really has stood the test of time.
Yeah.
People are always drawn back to it. And so we want to, if there are people that are interested and they're maybe a little nervous, maybe a little unsure about what's happening or what's going on, we want to be that point of contact. We want to be that group that says, hey, we can help you out. Come see one of our shows. Come listen in and be a part of what we're doing.
Have you had people who've come to see the show and go, I think I'd like to do that. That looks like fun. People that sort of, I would imagine, be kind of inspirational.
I think some of our cast members this year have seen it and then got involved. I can't remember who right off the top of my head, but I mean, you're a good example. You came and saw us we've roped you into the park shenanigans.
Well, I'm grateful. I always have to clear things with my events planner, my wife. Summers are always just so busy. But that's the nice thing is you can go on vacation to the Forest of Arden, right? And hang out with everybody there.
Yeah, and we've got 3 weekends, so if you can't make 2 of them, you've got more opportunities.
Yeah, yeah, and we'll be bringing the forest. I mean, just about any place you live in Spokane, we're bringing the Forest of Arden to you.
So yeah, it's really easy. You go out there if you have like little ones, or you don't think you can stay the whole time. That's a great thing about it too, is you can just come for part of it.
Yeah.
Obviously, we recommend you stay the whole time, and maybe you'll find yourself staying the whole time anyway. But you can just come on out, swing by, and see what we're all about.
Yeah,
I know my dad has a hard time sitting still for 2 hours, so he'll come for the first half one night and the second half another night, which I think is hard to do in a conventional ticketed theater, but. Come see what you can, and hopefully you're so drawn in, you stay for the whole thing. But if you've got aches and pains, or life is pulling you away, you know, start watching us at the early end and come see the end later.
Yeah, that's right. So why don't we, before we sign off here, tell folks one more time how they can find out.
SpokaneShakespeareSociety.org has all of the information on the website. They are also on Facebook and Instagram. And just know that we've got Corbin Park first, Manitou Park next, and then Riverfront Park for the 3rd weekend. So come to one, come to all.
Does weather have an effect? Well, have you ever been rained out?
We have been rained out. Yes. We try. That'll be me panicking to find spaces too. We've played in the South Hill Library in a very small room. We've played in the indoor part of the pavilion. If there's weather, please check our website and our Facebook, because we will update things. The show absolutely must go on. Oftentimes, those are really special performances. I mean, it's different every time we do it in a different space, but when we scramble to do it in a new space and you're part of that, I think it's fun and exciting to be a part of it. And audience members have told me that too, as they've helped us to move things when we're running away from the rain. Not that you would have to do that, but I think it's fun to, you really can be totally immersed in the theater experience as we evade the weather.
Yes, the traveling caravan.
Yeah.
Moving to the next town. All right. Thanks, everybody, for listening to Out and About. You are listening to KYRS Medical Lake Spokane. And you're going to be, we're going to have Jim Hightower's on after me. He might even be talking right now. Seems like he keeps creeping up a little bit earlier and earlier. And then Amy Goodman with Democracy Now! Right after that. So thank you very much. And stay tuned to KYRS.
And now to Eden, yea, brother. And now to Eden, no more trouble in my body. Like a king on whatever I find, eat all the fruit and throw away the rind. Yay, brother, yay.
Across America, there are only 9 Supremes, and none of the current bunch have ever faced the people. Even in an election for dog catcher. They are handpicked by political and moneyed elites, and most blatantly lie to win approval for their lifetime appointments. Once enthroned, they have no accountability to us commoners who are expected to blindly obey their edicts. Today, out of 330 million Americans, 6 right-wing SCOTUS members have seized control of the court and our government. They claim supremacy over the people, the president, and the Congress, arbitrarily dictating what is legal for elected officials and the public to do. Indeed, they are now making up laws on abortion, presidential power, voting rights, environmental protection, and much more to suit their personal, political, and religious biases. Moreover, they operate behind closed doors with no disclosure of their conflicts of interest. This is Jim Hightower saying, call this what it is, a right-wing extremist power grab. And it is fast supplanting our people's historic democratic progress with a kleptocracy of autocratic, plutocratic, theocratic rule. The only remedy is a head-on people's rebellion to democratize this totally un-American court. The Hightower Radio Lowdown is made possible by you subscribers to Jim Hightower's Lowdown on Substack. Find us at jimhightower.substack.com.
KYRS, Thin Air Community Radio, is grateful to Turnmeyer Eco-Construction for being our tower guardian for the month of June. Just like people, our tower needs a safe place to reside. This month, our tower continues to have a secured home. Turnmeyer Eco-Construction of Colville and Kettle Falls provides bathroom remodeling and custom tile work. Information at 509-220-4367.
You are listening to KYRS Medical Lake Spokane on 88.1 or 92.3 FM.
The following program was pre-recorded.
New York, this is Democracy Now!
I spent the best 22 years in the Air Force, and during those 22 years, although I didn't agree with all the policies, I hope that hopefully one day as a Palestinian American, I can make an impact using my voice, because I wanted that to be that representation for the Palestinian people within the military community. I just never expected it to come at a time where we're watching the indiscriminate killing of 30,000 Palestinians, including some being my family members.
As Israel's war on Gaza enters its 10th month, we'll speak with a Palestinian-American who ended a 22-year career in the U.S. Air Force after an Israeli airstrike on Gaza killed his aunt. First Sergeant Mohammed Abu Hashem is the first known person to resign from the U.S. military or government who had a direct connection to Israel's war on Gaza. Then we'll talk to investigative journalist Jeremy Scahill, who recently spoke to senior Hamas officials about the ongoing ceasefire negotiations and the group's broader goals.
From Hamas's perspective, they've waged a guerrilla insurgency for 9 months against Israel that has exposed not only Israel's brutality, but its weaknesses. And now you have a situation where Netanyahu has been unable to free almost any hostages militarily inside of Gaza. A large number of them have been killed. And I think what we're seeing in these negotiations is that Netanyahu's trying to sabotage any deal because his political future is linked to a continuation of this war. And he's hoping that Donald Trump wins the U.S. presidential election.
Jeremy Scahill's latest expose appears at Dropsite, an investigative news outlet Jeremy launched with Ryan Grimm. All that and more coming up. Welcome to Democracy Now!, democracynow.org, The War and Peace Report. I'm Amy Goodman. In the Gaza Strip, tens of thousands of Palestinians have been forced out of their homes and makeshift shelters after Israel's military issued a new mass expulsion order covering several areas of Gaza City. On Monday, thousands of patients and medical workers were seen evacuating the Patients' Friends Benevolent Society Hospital and